And that's one of the things about religion that we have to remember when we're talking about that makes it such a hot topic issue is because we're talking about law. Who gets to be God? Who gets to be God's deputies? Who is the Most High? Who is the divine authority? It's all about the claim to the Most High. The only way that somebody can be higher than us is if we give away our power. Because there's nobody. We're all equal. But we're not equal in our knowledge. So ultimately, I think it does have to be a hierarchy, but it has to be a cooperative hierarchy like a bee colony. It's about what our value system is, what we care about.
Hello, Hive Mind. Welcome to the 29th episode of the Cubbyhole Podcast, where important topics are unveiled, discussed, and tested. Today is November 12th, 2020. Please make sure to check out our website where all of our previous content is available. Our website is cubbyhole.com. That's CubbyHole.com. My name is Brandon Martin, and I will be your host for today's show. Today, I'm going to be continuing off from our last show, episode 28, where we have been breaking down the methods of manipulation. And for those who are not aware, we do have slides for a lot of these new episodes, which can be found on the website in the description of the episode. So there will be a little slideshow right beneath the description of the episode that has all of the slides that we have put together. Now remember, if you want to get the full totality of the message that we are trying to bring to the table here and full understanding of the information we are providing, you need to go back to episode one and start from there and chronologically move forward. On the last episode, I covered indoctrination, controlled opposition, and the financial system. Today, we're going to be starting from the financial system and moving through some of the other methods of manipulation. And if I have the time, I'd like to get through at least three or four more of these. So, without further hesitation, let's get right into the topics. We talked about how the financial system is used as a means to keep people in control, and how the financial system is integrated in almost every aspect of our lives, that the world banking cabal, the world bankers, are not really concerned with who is creating the laws because they understand that they can just buy everybody out. They also control the debt of a nation by loaning the money from the Federal Reserve to our government through means of interest. So they can control every aspect of the value and the devaluing of such a currency, and also to constantly keep us as debt slaves, not only as an individual, but also on a national level. So here's a quote by Thomas Jefferson. "Banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies. If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their currency, the banks and corporations that will grow up around the banks will deprive the people of all property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers occupied." The financial system is one of the most integrated mind control techniques that we have. It is the world's biggest religion, in truth. And we will be talking about religion as a means of manipulation here later on. But I see currency and money as one of the biggest methods of manipulation. People will do almost anything to get their paycheck, including removing their own conscience. And what I'm speaking about here is the immoral occupation of order following, and how people will abdicate their personal responsibility to a higher authority and to wipe away magically all of the wrongdoings that they are committing to individuals by removing and usurping their liberties. People will do the most vicious atrocities to people just for a paycheck. The police are the bought and paid for henchmen of the dark occult ruling class. They are there to protect the elite, quote unquote, masters of this world from the individuals and the sovereigns that actually might rise up against them. Their entire occupation is based upon fear and violence. But it is this false belief in money that drives a lot of individuals into immoral occupations and immoral actions in their own daily lives. The fear of scarcity is a huge factor in why people go to such lengths to make sure to get money. And a big thing about this is that most scarcity is artificial scarcity that has been initiated and intended to make sure to root people in the R complex of the brain so that they are basing their decisions off of the survival mode only, so that they do not get into the higher neocortex and activate their conscience or higher level thinking through the heart-based consciousness so that they can make correct actions. This is one of the main things that the dark occult ruling class relies upon, is people being rooted in the R complex, because from there they are easily controllable, and from there they make very irrational decisions and very immoral decisions, because the ability to understand morality comes from the higher functionalities of the brain. So without having access into those higher functions of the brain, an individual will be rooted in the R complex, like I stated earlier when we explained the basic functions of the brain, the three basic functions of the brain. I mean, we go as far as to equate the value of the individual with the value of money. One of the most deplorable comments you could say to somebody is that you look like any amount of money. I mean, to me personally, that is just absolutely absurd that you would compare somebody to dirty shit paper. You know, literally dirty shit paper, war paper. Just call it war paper, because that's what it is. It's a war. It's a war on your consciousness. This is all a war on your consciousness. I seriously can't believe that other people refer to each other's beauty as monetary value. I've heard people say it so many times. You look like $1 million or a trillion, or how much ever arbitrary value-based system that they put on an individual, because they look at that as some sort of higher status and beauty. They actually look at it as beautiful. Money, the most deplorable, dirty, disgusting, fake piece of shit paper that I wouldn't even wipe my ass with it. And you want to refer to others as 1 million or trillion pieces of these shit papers? Please, you got to be fucking kidding me. Money is literally the one god that rules over this world. The ancients used to say that which you think about the most becomes your god. And just think about it. How much every day people are literally sitting there in their mind thinking about how to acquire money. This is what they do all day long. You know, I mean, this is what we are indoctrinated into through our educational systems, is how we're going to acquire money, right? I mean, this piece of freaking paper that has no real intrinsic value and is only in play at this point in our evolution because of the artificial scarcity and mind control techniques that are being used to make sure that this kind of control system stays at the forefront of this consciousness war. People are so worried about drug addiction, right? But you never hear anybody talking about the addiction of money. I mean, every once in a while you hear something about the greedy rich, you know, feeding off of the poor, etc. It all gets blamed on the upper class, right? And yeah, they are, a lot of these people are definitely part of that issue. But not every single person that has more money than you or what could be classified as rich is your enemy. I mean, that's what we all should be. We all should have, you know, the true richness, which is spiritual richness. We truly are rich in our spiritual value because we have infinite spiritual value. And when we obfuscate the spiritual value or the individual value with monetary possessions, it is absolutely absurd. But most people are spending their day addicted to the concept and the illusion of money. Now, I'm not telling you to not try to make money or not think about money. Obviously, we have to have some means of survival, but I am telling you that this is how it's used. It plays off of the right brain and it plays off of the emotions to make sure that people will act in a specific way so that a specific path is taken and a specific result is manifested. I mean, truly, a wasted life is a life spent searching, lusting, groveling over these pieces of shit paper. You know, I'm sorry I'm using so many curse words in this, but I'm not going to euphemize when it comes to this. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. And if it throws the audience in a loop, because normally we're not on here cussing that much, well, there will be a little bit of vitriol that comes out from time to time. And I think that it's a very healthy thing. I mean, there are studies shown that, you know, cussing actually can increase somebody's productivity. And it's because you're tapping into that sacred part of yourself. You're tapping into that authentic part of yourself. You know, I mean, we could use different words for that, obviously. We could have different emotional connections with other words that bring out that authentic, that authenticness within us. But currently, that's what we have. That's our set base. So cussing becomes that cathartic way of being able to release those emotions. And there's nothing wrong with being cathartic as long as you're not hurting anybody. So I'm not trying to drive anybody away from this information because, you know, obviously I personally would like to see scholars and, you know, teachers and people like that listening to this type of information. And, you know, using those types of words may drive a wedge between the viewer and the speaker. So we don't really want that. So I do refrain from trying to use that a lot to not drive away the audience. But I mean, what else do you want me to call money? It literally is a piece of shit paper. I mean, why do you think they call it a medium of exchange? There is a connection there between a medium and also a medium, an individual that has a connection to a higher source or a spiritual plane. This all ties into spirituality because truly money is a proxy for the real currency in the world, which is time and attention. And when we get down to time and attention, the root of both of those is energy. So money is a proxy for energy. Money itself is the mon eye. It relates back to the one eye. That's why they call it money. M-O-N, mon, or mono. And then E-Y, which is I, if we phonetically pronounce it. So there's more of that green language there. But we could also look at it as the moon eye, which relates back to the sacred feminine, which is in direct correlation and makes sense to me why it would be that way in the green language, because it relates to the emotional and sacred feminine aspects of our consciousness. A little bit more wordplay when it comes to this is, you know, bill. We call it bill. And if we break down the word bill, be ill, well, there we go. You know, if you're constantly obsessed with money, if you're egoly identified with the concept of money and you believe in it intrinsically, then you will be ill. And yeah, I mean, you can have the illusion of happiness even though you're ill. You could be rich, you could be living on an island, you could be living in a mansion, all your needs taken care of, and this could all be due to you searching for money and using the, you know, the real law of attraction to get that currency. And like I said, there's nothing wrong with people having, you know, more money than other people. It's how this is being used against us to manipulate us, to oppress us, to violate and usurp our liberties. That's one of the biggest issues, you know. I don't really care if it's all voluntary and it's utilized in a healthy, non-violent way. But what we have is a system that monopolizes that service. And what that means is that nobody else can actually compete with that service. They eliminate all competition. So there is no room for the true free market. There is no room for a stepwise progression into a system of abundance, which makes money obsolete. But also, you know, we work for Bill, right? To get Bill to pay bills. Now, you're telling me that's a coincidence that that's all lined up directly? I mean, that's three bills. You know, think about that. To work for Bill. And I mean, Bill could be your boss too, because it relates to Baal, okay? The ancient Canaanite deity that has to do with fertility rituals. So there you go again. It has to do with the sacred feminine component. This also shows how it's directly connected to a religious mindset. And the word Baal or Baal literally means lord or owner. So in the Phoenicians, the Phoenicia Canaanites, they would represent Baal as the lord of the heavens, if you look that up. So it literally means the lord of the heavens. This is all a form of dark occult manipulation when it comes down to it. This is how they are using this against us, this type of wordplay. And we're going to do a little bit more wordplay here with these words. Now let's take a look at the word currency. We have the word current, right? This is the root word of currency. And the current has to do with the water. It has to do with the tides, the ebb and flow. And this relates back to the sacred feminine principle as well. Waters directly relate to our emotional complexes also. This specifically falls under maritime admiralty law, which has to do with import and export of trade over water. So Mary or mer means water, like mermaid or merchant, the water chanter, the merchant, which has to do with trade and barter. Maritime admiralty law is literally the way that they have legalized slavery. See, people don't realize, but slavery is legal. And if you understand maritime admiralty law, you will see what I mean. I'll give a brief description of this now, but I don't want to stay too long on this topic because we will open this topic back up in the future. So maritime admiralty law is the way that they use a straw man technique, a straw man fallacy, to build up an artificial image, an artificial construct or creation of the individual, which can be legally used as a means of trade and barter. So they are literally turning the natural individual through this sorcery into an artificial being, which is not true. It's all an illusion because it's a straw man technique. They're trying to build you up as something that you're not. And for those who don't understand what a straw man technique is or a straw man fallacy is, I would recommend doing your due diligence into understanding logical fallacies, because they really will help to improve your thought processes, your reasoning, and your ability to see through manipulation tactics like this. So this is the easiest way I can explain this. Maritime admiralty law is the way to convert the natural being into an artificial corporate entity or a product of a corporation. And the way they do this is through word sorcery. Let's not use the term word magic anymore when it's being used to violate individuals. It's word sorcery is what it really comes down to. So maritime admiralty law, like I was stating, has to do with the law of water. So when your mother's water breaks as a sign that the baby is about to be born, you rush to the hospital, rush to the birthing room, and you have to be overseen by the doc. So with maritime admiralty law, the vessel is considered to be the ship. So often you'll find a sacred feminine deity or a sacred feminine symbol at the bow of the boat, which is interesting in many different ways, but this vessel then proceeds to bring in a foreign object from one location to another. It is a gateway of sorts, or a canal. It's a canal way. So whenever you, the new product that is being birthed into that land, come down the canal way, the waterway of the female anatomy, you are considered to be a foreign item. So they have to have a manifesto, which has to then be signed off by the authority, which is the doctor. So what happens here is that the ship comes to the dock, and then the manifesto is signed over by the authority or the doctor. This is the same thing that happens in the birthing room, where the ship, which is the vessel, the female, the mother, who comes to the birthing room. This is why they call the dock the birth also. So, you know, if you know shipping terms, like if you go down and you're working in that occupation, you'll notice that they refer to this as the birth. And this is because they are birthing these new items into a foreign land. And this is the same thing, like I said, that happens in the birthing room. So the doc or the doctor has to sign on the manifesto, which is the birth certificate. Now, the birth certificate specifically has your name in all capital letters. And the reason why they do that, so that it can be classified under maritime admiralty law. And whenever you use your name in all capital letters this way, it means that you're giving over the maximum amount of rights. It means that you are a corporation or an entity of that corporation. So it's known as Capitis Denimusia Maxima. And what that means is that you're giving over the maximum amount of liberties. So you're forfeiting your individual liberties to a higher authority. And like Doug says at the intro of this podcast, you know, the only way someone can have power over you is if you give that power over. The thing with this is that you have no choice in this matter. Your parents are choosing to do this, and they've been brainwashed into this type of system. So, you know, there are many different types of legalized slavery that we can look at. Maritime admiralty law is just one of them. Taxation is a form of legalized slavery. But the point here is to understand how they're using these types of terminologies. You will find that a lot of words that are used in conjunction with water issues or water situations have to do with money. So if you just look in finances all over the place, you find it. A bailout. Bail. There's that word again. Ball, right? You're bailing it out. Liquidation, right? There's another term for that. So you have, not for bailout, obviously, but it's a associative concept being correlated with liquid, you know, being correlated with the water. And so we can see that they are being blunt and overt in a slightly cryptic way, you know, because most people don't do their research, but it's out there. You can look all this up. It's not like it's hidden, you know, just most people don't do their research on these things. That they are using a form of sorcery to manipulate and obfuscate the individual with the straw man of that individual. That straw man is that corporate entity or a corpse. You know, they are a corpse. I mean, think about that word, corporation, a corpse, a dead thing, something that is not alive, a live entity, right? Something that is non-moving, but it's a proxy for real, for what's really going on. You know, it's there as an artificial construct. You are considered a dead being at that point. You know, you're a corporation, so you are a corpse. So you're a dead being. Well, this is how they confuse people about these things, is because they're using a completely different language in the legal system than what most people are using colloquially. So, you know, whenever we're studying law, like whenever people go in to a courtroom, you may say that you're a citizen. Well, what you mean as being a citizen is definitively different than what they are classifying it under the law, man's law specifically, as a citizen. When you say sovereign, there's a different definition for that. And I would recommend Black's Law Dictionary to understand how this really plays out. That will really give people a very interesting look at how words are used in the legal system to, you know, pretty much strawman you. and to get you to consent to something that you normally would not consent to. That's the whole idea here, is that you become egoly identified with these constructs, these corporate entities, these labels, and then you use them, and as you use them, you're using them more and more. This is why they have to have your signature. It's not just for verification. This has to do with sorcery. This has to do with energetic magic, but it also has to do with you giving consent. This has to do with you willfully participating in that system. And even though you didn't have a choice with it at the beginning, as you grow old enough, it is your responsibility to learn how these things work so that you can fight back against these things. Another wordplay that we find within this system is that we have banks. And banks, what do? Well, let's take a look at something in nature. We have a river, and then you have river banks on either side of that river. What do those banks do? They direct and control the destination of the current. We can look at this in a different way also. As the banks become narrower, there might be more pressure, right? And then since there's more pressure, there's also less water coming out. Even though there's more pressure, you have less water moving through that channel between those banks. And what this is it creates scarcity, right? And it, psychologically, it relates back to pressure in our minds and our emotions, because we don't have what we consider to be something of value to our system, which we know that's not really valuable. So it actually prevents the human progress of the human race. But if those banks were to open up and there's an abundance of that coming out, the value of that starts to lessen a little bit, because everybody has it. So they're not all fighting over each other for that thing. The value is, there's a natural value to, like, water itself. Obviously, there's an intrinsic value to water. So, you know, that value doesn't ever change. It always stays that way. But if you are in control of that water, then you can control that value based on how much you can provide, supply and demand, right? So that's what we're looking at here. So the banks control not only the supply and demand, but also they control the pressure on society, the pressure on the individual. So it's not a coincidence that these terms are being used so prevalently, so radically in this type of system. And like I said, current relates back to water, but it also comes back down to energy. So what they're using it as a proxy for is energy, because they are trying to get you to associate money or currency with the idea of forward momentum, with energy. And if you look at it in an electrical sense, like through the study of electronics and things like that, you can see that really what this does is it's a resistor and on a circuit board. You know, if you just look at that societally, money is really the resisting agent to actual growth, to actually, you know, being able to move forward as a species. So that's the way that I explain it, is that money is the resisting factor. It's not the actual current. It's not the actual electricity or energy that is being used. I mean, one of the main factors, if not the main factor, for Tesla technology not being fully implemented is because of money, or the false belief in money, that is. It's also because of control. There's a lot of factors to it, but that's one of the main things, because, you know, these elite scumbags couldn't make profit off of free energy. So they had to, you know, support Edison rather than Tesla. And then they destroyed the Tesla Tower. And you know who did that? Was the order followers. How about that? You know, what a disgrace to go out and destroy such a monumental and such a beneficial technology for humanity. Another interesting green language part of the word currency is that we have current C, right? So it's the current or current and sea. The stream, the energy flows to the sea. And I just found that kind of interesting, because it does you know, correlate to this. I mean, pretty much what they're doing is taking the natural individual and then converting them into a commodity to be traded. And this is why you find the social security numbers on the stocks and trading markets, because they're using that as a means to make profit off of you. It's crazy how much money they're just making because you were born into this country under maritime admiralty law. And the thing about maritime admiralty law is that it supersedes land law, because water connects all land. It's technically superior based on how much control they get from using it. So, you know, why would we be correlating the Latin, you know, roots of these words? I mean, like, currency doesn't really have anything to do with, you know, paper or coin. But really what it is about is harnessing the energy of humanity. And what we're really studying here is synchronicities or syncretism, right? So this is about taking two opposing sides in a way similar to the Hegelian dialectic. I would say it's the proper use of the Hegelian dialectic, and finding the truth by process of elimination, right? Eliminating all that is untrue or false. And then what has remained between those two things that is true, you unify them into a functioning, you know, idea or a functioning application of that idea, etc. So we have what is known as nautical terms, which is relating to the sea, ocean, shipping, and navigation. The term nautical originates from the Greek word nauti or nautikos, and it means ship or sailor. So we can see right there a little bit more connection to what I was speaking about a moment ago. So now let's really dive a little bit deeper here. When you place your home on the real estate market, right, you're putting it up for sale. Well, that's the S-A-L-E, sale. Now think about that word phonetically and how it relates to sale. S-A-I-L, sale. When you buy from a merchant, he is selling or sailing, right, you a product, because he is the seller or sailor of that product. Going back to earlier when I spoke about the dock and the berth, in nautical terms, the berth is a space where a vehicle can be parked or docked for loading and unloading. So when a ship berths into a port or dock, the captain has to produce a certificate, a berth certificate. Now this word berth is spelled with an E rather than an I, but it is phonetically the same thing. So this, you know, relates back to the berth canal as well. None of these words are picked by chance or carelessly. I mean, think about it. The word shipped, right? It comes from the word ship, because that's something that is transporting those items. But if we look at it in Greek language, it could relate back to hips, you know, the hips of the mother. And, you know, when we're in the womb, we are connected to the navel cord. This is where we get the word navy from, is navel. And the word navis in Latin means ship. Let's think about this in an everyday example. When you connect a device such as a printer or a USB cable or cord to a port or a port opening on your computer, this is the sacred masculine and sacred feminine archetypes coming together. You have a masculine component, which is the plug or the cord with the plug at the end, which plugs in to the port. And what do we have on ships? We have port holes to describe, you know, windows or openings in vessels, right? The word port literally means door. When we go to work, people have to report for duty, to go back to the port for duty. When we have to clean and organize a space to get it into ship shape is something that we say. Now that expression specifically came from inspections that started during the 1800s to ensure that ships were clean enough so as to not bring any type of diseases into a port. Think about that sexually. So when these ships were inspected and accepted for port entry, they would be said to be ship-shape. We have a post office. Now, this one's a little bit more complicated, but it's still there. The word post office, off ice, that takes deliveries. So we have that word deliveries also, but office is off ice, to get it off the ice. And when it's on ice, it means it's, you know, it's frozen or it's not moving. It's not going anywhere. You know, it's stable. It's there. Let's take it another step further. We have the word captain, which comes from the word capital. And obviously we know that that means money. And this also relates to water. This also means a leader, chief, or one who stands at the head of others. The word cap is obviously the most clear to understand why this means head. So it's the cap, it's on the head. I had briefly mentioned the bar a little while ago, and bar literally means to fasten a gate or door or a solid object to obstruct or to prevent. Now, this is also a legal term. This means the whole body of lawyers. Let's look at the word court. The word court also has to do with the holding of liquid, okay? Because it's court. The C and O can be replaced with a Q, which is a measurement of liquid. The bar in the courtroom, the railing in the courtroom, represents the edges of a ship, because all the trading had to take place on the ship legally. So the Phoenicians would never allow their trading to take place anywhere besides on the ship. And you had to cross the bar to actually get onto the ship. What else do ships send around? Well, I'm sure they still do this, but they were very well known for shipping slaves back and forth. So we can see how this is directly related to slavery. So the word bar also means a male person who has reached his 13th year, and the 13th year is very symbolic of solar doctrine, because that's the recommencement of the next cycle. So once you get to 12, you start over, and let's say our 12-hour clock is a good example. 13 would be 1. It's the first degree once the sun starts rising again, you know. Once we have the next phase of our life journey. So when we hit the teens, that's 13. That's the next phase of our life journey. So that's also a correlation there that relates back to astrotheology and the cycles of the sun and the 12 zodiac signs and the 13th sign representing the sun who traverses the zodiac belt. We also have this location called bars. This is something I speak quite frequently with a lot of my friends, because, you know, we can be social drinkers every once in a while. Definitely a lot of my friends are, much more than me. I just have a couple drinks here and there. But the bar, right, we have bars that we go out to drink liquid at. Now, bars came into being through Prohibition. And Prohibition was a huge lockdown on our abilities to actually trade freely. It was a huge lockdown of the market, pretty much, because what they were attacking were two primary things. They were attacking cannabis and they were attacking alcohol, right? So they were focusing on cannabis because cannabis not only could make fuel, but it could make fabric. It could also compete with the paper-making publishing companies at that time. We could make it. Also competes with the cotton industry. It competes with everything all around. It has medical uses. So not only was it a resource for medical benefits, but also it has fossil fuel uses. And you just think about the elite controlling class wanting to allow their slaves to have access to something that they could grow so easily and make so many great, strong resources from that could benefit them. They don't want us to have that stuff. And don't think legalization makes it easier for you to have that stuff, because it doesn't. Then we have alcohol, which is also under the two categories of fuel and medical. So what they did was they came in and put all these restrictions in place and completely did away with things like saloons, which was a place of free trade. Technically, a saloon was part of the free market. It was allowing people to come in and trade and barter in musical professions or talents, gambling, things that were not doing anybody any harm. And people had common sense at that point, so they didn't need an ID to know to not give kids alcohol. Not saying that that happened perfectly around the entire board, because people are definitely idiots, but, you know, for the most part, that's why they remained operating, because, I mean, they are at risk for losing clients if they're going to behave that way, because most people just won't stand for things like that. Not only are they at risk for losing the clients, but also causing some type of self-defense to be initiated at that point. Because that is violence towards children to, you know, allow them to abuse their bodies that way when they have no rationality. So, but what do we find at a bar, right, that you have to use your slave identification card at to prove your age? We find a bartender, right, which sits at a bar, literally. So he's a bartender. He's a tender of bar. But that word tender also is used monetarily. So we can look at this because tendare, I believe that's how it's pronounced in Latin, means to stretch or extend, to make a formal offer for acceptance. Okay, so we can look at that as relating back to these old religions as making offers to deities. You know, we're making these transactions to these elite, quote-unquote, deities. But what is really being offered, contrary to what most people think it is, they would believe it would be money that's being offered, is really their energy. Their energy is being given up to this type of service. There is so much that we can get into if we continue to break down the words. There is a plethora of words, and I mean, I could take up 4 or 5 episodes going through this. I mean, you could look at the word fortune. You could look at the word teller. You could look at the word barge. So what really is prohibition? Well, prohibition is the claim that a group of people who call themselves government have been given a magical, quote-unquote, right to prevent others from putting any given substance into their bodies. And if those others refuse to comply with those terms, they will be fined or imprisoned. It should be readily self-evident that if an individual's body is actually their own property, then that individual always maintains the natural, innate, and inherent right to decide what will or would not be put into their own property, their body. So understanding this, we can easily see that the claim of the right to command what will or will not be put into the body of another person amounts to the claim of ownership upon the other person's body. Now, the claim of ownership over another person's body is called slavery. Therefore, prohibition is merely a euphemism for slavery, which is backed by violence by the state, regardless of any justifications made by those who claim such practices are necessary for the common good or the good of mankind. This actually leads me into the next brief section of the financial manipulation, which is taxation. Taxation is legalized slavery. Why is that? Because taxation is the claim that a group of people who call themselves government have been given the quote-unquote right to confiscate an arbitrary chosen percentage of the product of labor of another individual's property. Because the product of labor is their property. What you do with your body is your property, and what you make with that body. If you make money with that body, that is your property. Now, taxation is enforced by physical threats of restricting somebody else's body or taking things that they've produced with their body, being their product of labor, by fining them more. And this goes all the way up to imprisonment, which is also the restriction of an individual's body. So as we can see, this is all about the claim over the individual's body. If we define slavery as the involuntary confiscation of 100% of the product of labor of another human being, we can clearly see that there is no magical percentage to which we could lower this number other than 0%. That would no longer constitute slavery. So even 1%, you know, even lower than that would still be slavery. No individual has this magical right to claim ownership of the product of labor of another person's body. This relates right back to prohibition also. Nobody has the right to claim ownership over what they will or will not put into their body. So therefore, all prohibition and all taxation are always wrong. They are euphemisms for slavery, and they are a violation of natural law. So I believe I've hammered on this topic enough. There's so much more we could say on this topic, but I need to move through the rest of these methods of manipulation. So we are moving on to the control of mass media. Most people get their information from a very tightly controlled area of media. And this is your mainstream media, which is CNN, NBC, ABC, Fox News, you know, Time Magazine, things like this, right? But most people don't realize that all of these news platforms, which can basically be said to be propaganda corporate entities, direct and control the way that we see the world. This relates back to method of manipulation too, which is worldview poisoning. So they can get us to see our society and the world in a specific way. They literally are the disseminators of mind control. They are here to tell you what to think, not to get you to learn how to think. And what do they normally pump out through this system? It's all fear-based, right? I mean, what do they focus on? They're focusing on all the violence, all the crime, all of these events, which they know how we react when we see these things focused on. That's all they really ever give us, is fear-based information. So this is intentionally used to keep us all in fear. This is to get people to see the world in such a negative way that people start to be thankful of the little things that they do have, the little modicum of freedom that they do receive in their everyday life. And I'm not saying don't be thankful for those things, but I am saying when you stop there, when you say, well, at least I have what I have here, I don't need to go out and do anything, right? I'm settling in this default condition. And I won't actually want to go and create change because look at how bad it is out there, right? And I would never want to be involved with all that, right? We don't want to be involved with actually trying to do something about what's really going on. And trust me, it is really bad out there. That is true. There is a lot of crazy stuff, but that's not the totality of the entire world. You know, that's just the condition of humanity that is in a very negative spot. But, you know, we can't see it that way all the time. You know, we need to be able to see the positive. Positive thinking is a huge solution to this. But we must not fear looking at the negative either, because that is what we actually have to change. But the main point that I'm trying to focus on here is that the mass media is controlled, and it definitely only focuses on these types of scenarios to keep us in a fear-based mentality. Also, rooting us in that R complex of the brain. So the next level of this, just in case, right, if the mass media about all the fear is not keeping you, you know, submissive and in your place, quote unquote, then you have what is known as entertainment, We have all this entertainment that is there to train our minds and keep us distracted. Now, there's nothing wrong with the bread and circus itself. It's what is wrong when we become obsessed with it, when we become addicted to it, when it's used as a means of manipulation to keep us in a shallow base consciousness that never allows us to actually rise up and do something about what's going on in our society. So this is used to get people to pay attention to things that are really not meaningful and have no real purpose or serve no real use for us actually transcending and finding our own spiritual worth and also taking down this elite ruling class. So they want to make sure to use a process of dissuasion or distraction to ensure that we don't rise up. And what's a better way than keep us, you know, submissive through our own hedonistic pleasures? So this is all about giving people an artificial view of the world. Give them your thoughts or give them your image in their mind. You know, you're trying to implant your construct into their mind. That's what mind control is all about. It's about controlling the imagination. It's about controlling the worldview that you have and what you can see that can be done about that. So as Adolf Hitler said, through clever and constant application of propaganda, people can be made to see paradise as hell and also the other way around, to consider the most wretched sort of life as paradise. And that's what I see right now. A lot of people think that we are just fine, you know, just go along to get along, right? There's nothing really wrong with the world. There's nothing really wrong with man's law, even though that it legalizes and makes socially acceptable violent crimes onto the innocent sovereigns of this world. No, there's nothing wrong, you know, with having these immoral order followers going out and creating victims all over the place when nobody's doing any harm, for the most part. So to sum it up, the control of mass media is pretty much scientifically designed to make sure that we stay sheep looking up to, you know, Big Brother as our protector. That's really what it is designed to bring about within humanity. It is there to make us look to them as protectors and as the savior. They're trying to convince us and obfuscate slavery, which is government, as some form of protector, and pretty much trying to create a form of Stockholm syndrome in their victims. So food and medicine is the next method of manipulation, and it's a very, very crucial factor in what's going on. Now, in the slide, it shows food and medicine in quotations, and that's because they're nothing of the sort, really. Not at least what we're being given right now. They really are just poisons. They are toxins. So we are literally being poisoned from not only the information that we're taking into our minds, but also the information that we are taking into our bodies. They are being genetically modified, which is such a horrible process. And I recommend anybody who doesn't know about the negative effects of genetic modification, then you really need to look into that. I mean, they're spraying all this food with toxic pesticides, putting toxic fertilizers in the soils that are being used to grow these food products in. All of our foods are being modified to not give us the correct nutrients that we need and to make sure that we are weak physically, to make sure that we do not grow to be strong. I mean, there is a direct parallel to a lot of the illnesses people are facing and the food that they're taking into their body. It is the main cause. What the medical industry seeks to do is only, you know, give you temporary solutions of symptoms for the most part. And this is one of the problems, is that people are always focused on fighting the effect or the symptoms rather than getting to the causality of what is creating that illness within the body or the mind. I mean, our factory farming system is so deplorable. You know, we really need to understand how much harm we are doing to the animal kingdom because of our carnistic base desires and pleasures rather than getting to a higher moral level standard where we see that that is actually a form of violence. You know, carnism is a religion. And there's just so much harm coming out of especially factory farming. And, you know, all these meats are being filled with hormone enhancers and, you know, being just pumped with chemicals all the time. And then people are taking that type of energy and that type of toxicity into their body. And there's no wonder that we're having such an increased rate of death from illnesses because we're taking so much toxic energy and toxic, you know, flesh and food products into our body. I highly recommend people look into Codex Alimentarius. Now, the flip side to this is the medical industry, where they are just treating people as clients rather than actual patients, you know? I mean, every patient cured is a client lost. So we see all kinds of abuse going through the medical industry with, you know, not only experimental drugs being used, but also the abuse by, you know, over-prescribing people drugs that they don't need instead of giving them actual good information about holistic medicine and things like that. We have all kinds of things going in with SSRIs, you know, with all these depressives and antipsychotic medicines. I mean, A Brave New World is a great place to start to understand how they can dumb us down with pharmaceutical warfare. And that's what this really is pharmaceutical warfare. And I mean, just look at the crazy stuff that they're putting in the vaccines, you know, and all the crazy negative results that we're getting from, you know, giving our children these vaccines. I mean, there's children dying all over the place from these vaccines, and they have been for a long, long time. And there's no doubt that there is just a dark, dark history behind vaccines. So I would highly look into that, look into all the ingredients that are put in the vaccines that have no purpose and no use for the vaccine itself. So I'm completely anti-vax when it comes to this. I mean, there's so many increased rates of autism that are connected to vaccines at this point. I mean, it's crazy what the science is showing us now. So the medical industry is part of this war. And I mean, that's why I call them the white coat priest class. They are up there as a priest class, and they are dictating our health at that level. And we really need to take our health back into our own hands and do everything we can possible to find a better way. I mean, anything that is really a cure is going to come from nature itself. Because let's just say that nature has caused some of these issues that we are having, you know. Well, if nature caused those issues, then it is logically to say that there's probably a solution for those within nature. Now, if man has caused those issues, then yeah, there's a solution there also. In every problem, there lies a solution. I said that in the earlier episode. So no matter which way you go, there are going to be solutions for these things. And that's why we have to get to the causality. What is actually causing that negative effect in the body or in the mind? And that's what this show is about. It's really about getting to the causality of everything. We're trying to get to the causality of slavery. We're trying to get to the causality of mental health issues. We're trying to get to the causality of, you know, biological health issues. So this is what we're really trying to tackle with providing this sort of information, is by getting to the causality. Because, you know, too many people are fighting the symptoms. Everybody's fighting the symptoms everywhere. It's like an individual getting up and yelling at the screen in a movie theater and expecting to change what's happening on that screen in the movie theater by pounding on it and yelling at it, rather than going up and, you know, actually doing something to the device or changing the reel itself, etc., right? So they don't like what's going on that screen. They could just go up and turn it off at the source. And that's what we're trying to get to, is the source of these issues. Okay, guys, this episode is at its end. I hope you have found clarity and value in this show today. I apologize that I couldn't get through more of these, but obviously we're trying to really get down to understand how these techniques are working. You can find more of our shows and presentation and all the current news of what's going on with the Seed Conference and the Cubbyhole podcast at our website, cubbyhole.com. That's CubbyWhole.com. Also, please make sure to keep your eyes open for our future shows as we go further into mind control. And as for now, our new shows come out every Monday at 6 p.m. Pacific time and every Friday at 12 p.m. Pacific time. Stay tuned for more. Thank you, and keep transcending dogma.